In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text just read is our gospel reading for this Sunday, the feast of the baptism of our Lord. I'd call this feast the forgotten feast of the church year, but it's only been around since 1955. I mean, it's only 11 years older than Kwanzaa. So most people don't even know about it, or at least they don't know what to do with it. And so they'll ask you the question, well, why Jesus need to get baptized anyway? And of course, after years of theological training, isn't that just the kind of question we were waiting for? We can bust out a full-on systematics lecture full of categories like the state of humiliation and pepper in some phrases like Israel reduced to one. And of course, we'd be right. But keeping all that in mind, we could make the same point in many fewer words using the same line of argumentation as John Chrysostom. The Lord let himself become human. The Lord let himself be born of a virgin. The Lord let himself suffer, be flogged, be crucified. And you're surprised he let himself be baptized? Chrysostom quickly puts things back in perspective, doesn't he? Because that seeming contradiction of the Lord's baptism is really nothing compared to the rest of the story. The Savior doesn't need to repent of any sins, but neither does he deserve to be punished for any sins. The sinless Savior stands in the stead of us sinners. That's the point of this pericope, exegetically, that the Savior became our substitute. And so the Savior is baptized with a baptism he doesn't need, and he will suffer a death he doesn't deserve. He's baptized for the forgiveness we need, and he's crucified for the resurrection that we could never deserve. In the words of our text, it's fitting. And we see, thanks to this theological training, how it does all fit together and make sense. But why then does John the Baptist object? And he says, I need to be baptized by you. Why doesn't John the Baptist get it? And we, in our arrogance, we look down on John like he's some kind of breakfast cereal cartoon. And we think to ourselves, silly Anabaptist, this sacrament's for the unbaptized. But remember what our Lord actually said. He doesn't distinctly disagree. In fact, his words kind of sound more like, you're right, John, but for now, just go with it. And if John's response is a right one, then there's no room for our arrogance, because, brothers, if John the Baptist needed baptism, how much more do we need? John was a prophet. He's more theologically advanced than you or I are ever going to be. His preaching drew crowds far bigger than the ones that we're ever going to see. And yet John, before Jesus, lowered himself all the way to the level of an unbaptized neophyte. Because, brothers, if the Lord lowered himself to our level, if the Lord lowered himself to be a substitute me, the Lord as a substitute you, how much lower must we make ourselves so that we're bowing to him and not looking down on him? It was fitting for the Savior to stand in the stead of us sinners to fulfill the righteous saving deeds of God, but it would not be fitting at all for us sinners to make ourselves above the Savior or even above the prophet who baptized him. And so that means every day we've got to make ourselves at least as low as John. Every morning, it's going back all the way to the most basic level, all the way back to baptism. And that's just what Luther said, isn't it? The Christian life is daily baptism. That's what he says in the introduction to the Large Catechism. He says, every morning and whenever I have time, I read and say word for word the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, and the Psalms and such. I must still read and study them daily, yet I cannot master the Catechism as I wish. But I must remain a child and a pupil of the Catechism, and am glad to remain so. Yet these delicate, refined fellows would in one reading promptly become doctors above all doctors, know everything, and need nothing. They didn't share our know-it-all arrogance, not Luther, not John the Baptist, and especially not the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior who humbled himself to be our substitute. If we had a share, a small share of that humility, we wouldn't think it beneath ourselves to regularly read through the Old and New Testaments. We wouldn't think it beneath ourselves to come to chapel whenever we're on campus, or even to relearn word for word the small catechism and a few psalms. We would not think ourselves too advanced or too busy for such basic piety. But that's daily baptism. It's not naive. It's not idealistic. It's lowering ourselves to the Savior who lowered himself to be on our level. It's a fitting and humble response to the Savior who stood in our stead to be the substitute for me and for you. Amen.